Are you in the mountain moving business? In 1973, a church in Netcong, New Jersey, found that they were facing a seemingly insurmountable problem. They had just built a new sanctuary on their recently acquired 8-acre property, half of which was a high hill and woods. And they were told that they would not be granted permanent occupancy until they had sufficient parking in the rear of the church. Their problem was that the hill, 40 feet high, rose abruptly at the back of the church, leaving insufficient space for the legally required parking lot. And the estimated cost of removing the obstacle was prohibitive for this young church. So one Sunday morning, the pastor reminded the congregation of Christ's promise in Matthew 17, verse 20, where Jesus said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will happen. Nothing for you will be impossible." And then the pastor added, "If you really believe that, I want you to come out on Wednesday evening to pray with me that God will move this mountain from the back of our church." Well, do you know what happened? The very next morning, Monday morning, the phone rang. It was the telephone company. They were planning to erect a new building and needed fill for a large swampy area. And they had learned that the hill back of the church had the exact proportions of sand and clay and rock for the required fill. And within a month, the phone company hauled away 40,000 square yards of fill, for which they paid the church $5,400, not only removing the hill, but leveling the ground for the required parking lot. Isn't that an amazing illustration of God's word in Isaiah chapter 64, where he says, "Before they call, I will answer"? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul lists faith as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, the faith mentioned here is more than saving faith, because, you see, no one can become a Christian believer without exercising genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. "For by grace you have been saved through faith," says St. Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 8. And also to continue the Christian life also requires faith. Again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." However, not all believers possess this kind of faith to remove mountains. And the inclusion of mountain-moving faith in the list of gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit distinguishes it from saving faith. There's a difference. Mountain-moving faith, saving faith. Now, it's interesting to notice that in 1 Corinthians 12, 9, the gift of faith is mentioned immediately before two other gifts, the gift of healing and the gift of working miracles. Now, this, I think, would imply that this special faith is over against the common faith that all believers have, in that it describes a particular exercise of faith which results in what we would call miraculous demonstrations of God's grace and power. Now, Elder Waffle read to us just a few moments ago that magnificent story, one of the great dramatic passages in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 39, where we read of the great prophet Elijah up on Mount Carmel, manifesting a remarkable faith that the Lord would vindicate himself and demonstrate his awesome power in contrast to the weakness of the false god Baal. Placing the wood on the altar and the sacrifice of the bull, and then pouring water, water, water all over the place, and then calling down the fire of the Lord until the whole thing was consumed. That's the same as mountain-moving faith, isn't it? Now, the mention of faith in the list of the gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit at least reminds us that one of the results of the outpouring of God's grace upon a congregation like ours here at Faith will be an expression of faith to perform mighty exploits for God's glory, just as Elijah did on Mount Carmel. We might therefore define this gift of faith as the Spirit-given ability to see something that God wants done and to sustain unwavering confidence that God will empower us to devise and execute plans to get that job done, regardless of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Though all logic seems stacked against some course of action, this faith nevertheless sees the will of God accomplished despite all natural resistance. You remember the song of the Panama Canal builders? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? We specialize in things thought impossible. We get things done that no others can do. Now the Christian, possessing the gift of faith, exclaims, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things that no others can do. My friends, the gift of mountain-moving faith laughs at impossibilities and cries, "It shall be done." Whenever I think of the gift of faith, I invariably reflect upon the life and ministry of a man called George Mueller of Bristol, England. His famous biography by Dr. A.T. Pearson is a book that has greatly influenced my own Christian life. George Mueller was a German born in Prussia in the year 1805. He emigrated to England in 1829 and settled as a pastor in the city of Bristol, where in 1836 he founded his famous orphanage. The work was carried on entirely by faith, and during the next 62 years, for Mr. Mueller lived to be 92, he cared for more than 10,000 orphans and received the equivalent of more than $5 million to maintain the work. And that was big money in those days. He began with only 2 shillings in his pocket, 50 cents. and he would never make known the needs of the orphanage. Never. He maintained that the Lord knew what was needed and that he would provide. Over the years, Mr. Mueller received enough money to build 5 large homes capable of housing 2,000 orphans and to feed and clothe the children day by day, all by faith and prayer. And never did they go without a meal. Often the pantry was bare when the children sat down to eat, but help always arrived just in the nick of time. One morning, we read in his biography, there was not a scrap of food nor a drop of milk to feed the hundreds of hungry orphans seated expectantly at the breakfast table. But Mr. Mueller got up and prayed. He said grace. He said, Father, we thank thee for the food that thou art going to give to us. Think of that. And within a minute or two, there was a knock at the door. It was a baker who said, I was awakened at 2 o'clock this morning and felt that I should bake some bread for you. And there it was. A few minutes later came another knock on the door. It was a milkman who said, my milk wagon has just broken down in front of your place here, and I must get rid of these cans of milk before I can take the wagon for repairs. Can you use this milk? Well, could they ever? Mr. Mueller testified that times without number, they were without food for another meal and without funds. But not once in all those years did God ever fail to provide the needed food. No appeals whatsoever were made. Never was any existing need revealed to any outsider, lest it be construed as a request for aid. Though he never asked for money, he did ask for more orphans. And the beautiful thing was that so many of these orphan children grew up to be strong Christians who knew what faith in God is all about and how God can supply our every need in the most amazing ways. After all, they'd lived in the orphanage for years and had seen faith at work. Now, that's so important, isn't it? The Christian who possesses this gift of mountain-moving faith will always, of course, limit his asking to only those things that God wants accomplished. His desire will correspond with God's desire. And of course, such faith and prayer must be completely devoid of self-centeredness. George Mueller always first satisfied himself that he was doing what God wanted him to do before he embarked on a project. Then, resting on the promises of the Word of God, he came boldly to the throne of grace in prayer, pleading his case and even giving reasons why he felt that God should answer. No delay discouraged him. Once he was convinced that a thing was right, he went on praying for it until the answer came. He said, I never give up. Tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. He was a stickler for detail, and he kept a complete record of his prayer life. And do you know that record covers 3,000 pages, 3,000 handwritten pages, containing nearly 1 million words and recording more than 50,000 specific answers to his prayers. Isn't that something? I have said that he kept on praying until the answer was given. A very beautiful story about him is this. As a young man in his 30s, he became greatly burdened for three young friends of his who did not know Christ. And he prayed for these three men until his death 60 years later. And he died without seeing one of those men led to a saving knowledge of Christ. But the sequel, within 3 months after Mr. Mueller's passing, all three of those men, now old, had been gloriously converted. Isn't that something? The gift of faith prompts prayer like that of the Lord Jesus when he stood before the tomb where Lazarus lay dead. Before he ever even had the disciples roll away the stone, before he ever raised up Lazarus, you know what he did? The Lord Jesus actually thanked the Father in advance for the raising of Lazarus, as though the answer was an accomplished fact. Listen to what our Lord prayed. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. What a glorious prayer. My friend, tell me, have you ever thanked God in advance in the certainty that a certain prayer of yours will be answered? That's mountain-moving faith. A transatlantic sea captain, after 22 hours on the bridge of his ship in a dense fog off the banks of Newfoundland, turned around when he felt a tap on his shoulder. Who do you think it was? It was George Mueller, then in his 70s. You know what he said to the captain? He said, Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. This was Wednesday evening. When the captain said that it was quite impossible, Mueller replied, Well, if your ship can't take me, God will find some other way. I've never broken a speaking engagement in 57 years. Oh, I'd like to help, responded the captain, but what can I do? Let's go below and pray, Mueller suggested. But, Mr. Mueller, don't you know how dense this fog is? My eye, said Mueller, is not on the fog, but on God who controls the fog and every circumstance of my life and yours. Down on his knees, Mueller prayed the simplest prayer the captain had ever heard. In his opinion, it befitted a little child of 9. O Lord, if thou wilt, remove this fog in 5 minutes. Thou dost know the engagement made for me in Quebec on Saturday morning. Then putting his hand on the captain's shoulder, Mueller restrained him from praying. First of all, Captain, you don't believe that God will do it. And second, I believe he has done it already. Open the door, Captain, and you'll find the fog gone. And so it was. And Mr. Mueller kept his Saturday morning engagement in the city of Quebec. Now, a person in our generation whom I believe has this gift of faith is Robert Schuller, the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral in Anaheim, California. Years ago, Schuller had a vision of a great church, larger than Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, a church which would glorify God and serve that great community and the world. Now, Schuller and Mueller are similar in many ways, but quite different in others. As I have told you, Mr. Mueller was opposed to making direct appeals for support, believing that God knew the need and therefore he would provide. Now, Schuller takes the opposite approach. He tells, for example, of how he engaged a rich man in conversation one day, challenging him with the vision of the Crystal Cathedral. He looked the man in the eye and he said, "I need your help. I would like you to give me $1 million toward the cathedral." You know what that man did? He looked Bob Schuller right back and with a smile he said, "Schuller, if you're crazy enough to ask me for $1 million, then I'm crazy enough to give it to you." And within a few days, that $1 million gift was in the bank. Now, George Mueller would have turned over in his grave if he had heard about the like of that. And yet I believe that God is pleased with them both, you see. Now, I firmly believe, my dear brothers and sisters, that there are some of you here this morning who possess this gift of mountain-moving faith, and you may not even know that you have it. Some of us need to launch out into the deep and trust God for the seemingly impossible. To maintain this kind of faith, you must, of course, live very close to Christ in unconditional obedience and commitment. As you read George Mueller's biography, you are struck by his deep sense of personal unworthiness and his earnest desire to confess and turn away from any sin the very moment he realized that he had committed it, seeking the full cleansing which is available through the blood of Jesus. Get into the Word of God more and more, my friends. Discover how great God is and how he yearns that we trust him to do great things in our lives, in the lives of our church, and in the lives of the community and the world. The person who possesses this gift of faith has the ability to envision what God wants to accomplish in his or her life, or family, or church, or business, or out in the world of the unevangelized millions. Like William Carey, the first great modern missionary, such a person will attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Everyone else may sit back and say, "Oh, let's use common sense. You know, what you dream is quite impossible. It's just a pipe dream." But my friends, if you have the gift of faith, you will not be perturbed by such faithlessness as that. No, of course not. And even if you feel that you don't have this gift of faith, remember, we are all commanded to have faith. Several times our Lord rebuked his disciples because of their little faith. And I'm convinced that every one of us should seek opportunities day by day to develop our faith, the faith that God has given to us. Haven't we a right to believe that God will be greatly glorified in our new congregation? Don't we believe that God led us from virtually the inner city of Alexandria out here to this Franconia corridor where there is a teeming multitude of people living here and a teeming multitude that will soon be moving in as new homes are built? God made no mistake in placing us here in Franconia near Kingstown Village, where 5,600 new housing units are being built. It will be a town the size of Vienna. Think of it. And I drove around the whole area a few days ago, and I claimed it for the Lord. And I claimed it especially for the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. My friends, will you share my vision of fields already white unto harvest? I honestly believe, and this is my vision, I believe that within 3 to 4 years, we can have a congregation of 800 to 1,000 members. Do you believe that? Come on, say it.
Amen.
Amen. Of course. What glory that would bring to God. What joy that would bring to the heart of our dear Savior. And it can happen, my friends, if you and I are prepared to pay the price. It can. God wants us to stop splashing around in the shallow waters of conventional piety. He wants us to launch out into the deep. He wants us to drop our nets and expect them to be filled with fish. He wants us, through the exercise of faith, to prove how great and how good He really is. Now let me close with one of my favorite stories. Dallas Theological Seminary is one of the largest and finest seminaries in the country. It was founded in 1924, but in a short time it almost folded. Indeed, it faced bankruptcy. All the creditors were going to foreclose at 12 noon on a particular day. And that morning, the founders of the seminary met in the office of the president, Dr. Louis Sperry Schaefer, to pray that God would provide. And Dr. Harry Ironside, a member of the group who later became the pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, rose to pray. And in his characteristically refreshing way, he exclaimed, "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Now, Lord, please sell some of them and send us the money." Well, while they were praying, a tall Texan came into the business office and said, "I've just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth, and I've been trying to make a business deal go through, and it won't work. And I feel God is compelling me to give the money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." And the secretary took the check, and knowing how critical the situation was, went to Dr. Schaefer's door and timidly knocked. And when the door was opened, she handed him the check. And when he looked at it, he saw that it was for the exact amount of the debt. And when he saw the signature on the check, he recognized the name of that cattleman over in Fort Worth. And turning to Dr. Ironside, he said quietly, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Oh, breath of God, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. Oh, breath of life, come, cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. Revive us, Lord. Is zeal abating while harvest fields are vast and white? Revive us, Lord. The world is waiting. Equip thy church to spread the light. Make that your prayer, my friends. Search your heart to see if God has in fact given you this gift of mountain-moving faith. I believe He has for many of you. Discover your gift. Develop it. Use it. Let's catch the vision of the Franconia Corridor for Christ and our church in the very forefront of the battle for the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we know that your power is limitless. Your love is unending and unbounding. And Lord, you have placed us here as your people to do your work, to do your will, to bring in your kingdom in this place. Oh Lord, we believe we'll soon have great news for our congregation, even about a location for our new church. Oh God, we just look to you in faith that moves mountains. We ask that we may be cleansed, that we may be filled with your Spirit, that we may be given the grace to be willing to pay the price, no matter what it may be, in order that your great name may be glorified through the work of this congregation. We ask this for our dear Savior's sake and in his name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.